The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, you don't need me to tell you what that theme music is from Fair City, celebrating 35 years, more than a quarter of a century, 35 years on our television screens to people who know all about Fair City, how long it has been, looking at me disapprovingly after I said 25 years. Cillian O'Sullivan, who of course played Lorcan on the show, and Claudia Carroll, who played Nicola. You're both very, very welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 35 years kind of makes us feel a little bit old. You grew up on the show to a degree.
I mean, yeah, I started in the show when I was about 12. So I was in it for nearly a decade. So those formative years, all to the early teenage years, imagine you're just discovering yourself as a person, but you also have to do that whilst on camera, in character a lot of the time. Because you got to remember, when I'm on the show, you're spending, when you're on a show like this, you're probably spending 10 or 12 hours a day with your RTE family, which is more time than you're actually spending with your actual family. So for those years, there was a lot of time. My character was, he was quite rough. So he spoke quite rough. So there is certain vocabulary that I would have only come across in those formative years through the character of Lorcan. And for years, if I ever got angry or upset, I would descend into a, like I used to get, a bit of Lorcanism in there, which is really funny because, for those years, you know, the only times I would have ever been angry or really upset or any of those heightened emotions would have been in character. So a lot of those words only came to me with that twang, which was surreal for the years, you know, off the back of the show. Yeah.
More than anything else, though, as a 12-year-old upwards, it must have been great crack at times.
Like, honestly, my character was so much fun on the show. I was robbing cars. We were doing, like, all sorts of stuff that, you know, actual 12-year-old me would get murdered for. It was an opportunity to just have all this fun in the safety of, like, professionals. But the stuff that we were doing over the years were just, like, it was pure fun. It was a playground. It really was. And it's only the older I get now, the more I reflect on those years and think of how fortunate I was that I got to do all that I got to do with the show. Like, we had sugar glass in cars. So sugar glass is like a safety glass.
Yeah.
So we were, like, breaking that glass to rob the car, essentially. So you're, like, getting to punch through glass and do all the, just all little things like that. Are just stuff they're, that no other 12 and 13 year old
has never existed that doesn't get a cheap thrill out of the sound of
I
smashing.
Yeah,
this is true. This is true.
It doesn't matter what it like when you know when you're doing the I still do it to this day. When you're doing the recycling the bottles, you always try and throw them with a little bit of force so they
give it
smash.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, it's really depressing when it goes into an empty one. You think, oh, this is definitely break, and it just dunks around inside it. Anyway, you Claudia, only were meant to be on the show for a short period of time.
I came in for a week, 1 week. And I stayed for 17 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's what Clelia Murphy says. If you want to go in for a week, you end up staying for 17 years. So there I am.
So, like, how far in advance are they writing characters then that you can go in for a short period?
About 4 months in advance.
Okay.
They write quite close to the bone, which is, you know, pretty close. But I went in for, a week, and Tony Tormey was in an awful state the day I started. Well, we were to do kissing scenes. And you know the way they're very awkward with somebody you've never met before.
Yeah.
And I did it with Tony. But the floor manager was coming. Tony minged of alcohol and garlic. Oh, God. Anyway, it wasn't very pleasant. But we did it.
Yes.
We did it because I had to do it.
And when you went into it, I mean, it was already well established.
Yes, it was.
At that stage. So what were your preconceptions about the show going into it?
My preconceptions about the show were that it was very kind of a formulaic, you know. But I don't think it was, because we got in and it was amazing. It was just fabulous. We did two episodes a week then, and we used to break in the summer, so you'd go off and get bits of theatre work in the summer, and that was great. And then we'd come back in the autumn, that was just the way it was. But then we went to three episodes, and then we went to four episodes a week, and then it got really good. Then Cillian came in, and it all went super sonic. Sky high.
Yeah, well, I mean, it certainly took kind of turns, as you say, when your character came in. Like, it got very dark.
It really did, to the point where they used to have to put warnings before the episodes ahead of some of the storylines that we had.
They do, yeah.
which is crazy, because for a soap opera, the idea of a soap is that it needs to, and this is no slight on soaps, but it needs to middle, right? It can never be too extreme. It can never be like a movie can push all the way to the very edge and then take you back by the end of the movie and resolve everything. You can't really have a soap that does that, because a soap needs to be able to go on every week after week after week after week.
If you were killing somebody every week, you just run out of actors.
That's exactly it. Yeah, you know? Yeah, very quickly. It'd end up being a solo piece. But it is one of those things that our storyline was kind of one of the first times they really started to push the boat out. Now, in saying that, just before I came in, we had the first gay kiss on Irish television.
Oh, yes.
Alan Smith was the actor, and that was a huge thing at the time as well. Of course, you know, you can imagine, you know, some areas of Ireland, you know, still to this day probably might even wince at something like that. But this would have been back in the late 90s. So it was always at the forefront of pushing boundaries. And with our storyline, certainly around Carol and with the Billy Meehan storyline, that was just unprecedented how far that got. And working with Stuart, who played Billy, he would do, it was amazing to work with him, but he would rehearse the scene a particular way, then he would have a word with the director and the cameraman, and then he would perform it a very different way. So a lot of the time, the reactions that you get from your co-stars are very genuine, because you see the rehearsal, you see the moves, you know what to expect. But then on the day when Stuart would flip and take it into another gear, there was one particular scene we did, and in all rehearsal, he just kind of grabbed me by the scruff and he warned me. And that was how it was always, because I was a 15 or 16 year old kid. And it was just that kind of, I knew what to expect, but he had queued it up with the cameraman and the director. And then when we went for the take, he reefed me and my face went white. And everybody was praising me afterwards for the performance. And I'm like, I wasn't acting. That was like, there was a moment of genuine fear caught. And Stuart knew how to get that out of you. And he was incredible to learn from and to work opposite. And yeah, that whole storyline with the, you know, the gangland side of things, that really whet the appetite, I think, for the Irish nation for what would eventually grow to be a thirst quenched by the likes of Love, Hate and everything we've seen since off the back of it. So I think...
But when you mentioned said the gay kiss and everything and when that happened in the late 90s, we were still in Ireland where that was, Claudia, the type of thing on television that would have elicited kind of massive complaints to RTE. Kind of
it
the type
would
of thing
have,
that Morning Ireland would have felt they needed to cover the next day. You know what I mean? There's kind of been outrage
expressed.
And yet expressed.
It wasn't because our stories were more... You know what I mean? Regularized. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like we would just do ordinary stories about ordinary people stuck having extraordinary experiences, and that was the key to it, I think. Yeah.
Is that the key to success over 35 years?
I think
that
it
people
is.
Can see themselves.
Yes,
in all
they
of the
see themselves.
The ordinariness of
they
it.
See the ordinariness of themselves and the characters. I really think so, yeah.
And there's a voyeurism to it. Irish people love, there's the curtain twitchers.
Love it. Yeah.
They love to have a look to see what the neighbours are doing. So sometimes the sensationalised stories that make big news in America, they wouldn't work on a soap opera because it's too far-fetched. But when somebody up the road's having an affair with somebody up the road, that's the kind of chat that Irish people love to have. So a soap being able to kind of show a glimpse into these people's lives, these relatively normal people's lives, I think it really captures the imagination because there's a comfort to it as well. If you're, you know, if you're feeling like your life is a certain way, maybe you just get this comfort in sitting down. And that's what I would have noticed over the years, that the people that would approach you at weddings, at nights out, over the years, there's a real familiarity they would have with you straight away because you're in their living room 4 days a week.
Yeah.
And they feel like they know you. And then that's when, you know, if your character does something like have an affair or do something like that, there's a real like, oh, I can't believe. Like people are really invested in the storylines. I know, right? Yeah.
Those moments where I was doing an affair storyline where Nicola is going through a cancer treatment and I was going out with a character called Donal Marr, who is played by David Heap. But he was having an affair with my sister. Anyway, I'm going into work, you know, driving down Nutley Lane, 7 o'clock in the morning, and traffic's coming towards me, and it's all traffic and terrible. And the driver spotted me, climbed down from his buggy, you know, the buggy and the truck, and he came up and thumped on the roof of my car. And I said, "What did I do? What did I do?" And he said, "Nicola, I seen you there in the traffic. I had to tell you, when you do be in having your chemo treatment, your fella's having an affair with your sister. I nearly die. I just said, oh my God, how horrible. How kind of you to tell me. Thank you so much. I'd never have known.
Ah, that is brilliant. That is. How often does that still happen to you?
Bizarrely enough, so I'm married now and I look very, this is radio, but I can tell you, I look very different now than I do. The years have aged me.
You think you look different. I'm not sure you do. I think when you walked in, I think everyone in this office went, there's Larkin.
Which is mad to me and mad to my wife, because my wife doesn't know me from that time of life at all. So if we're anywhere and if somebody approaches, generally women in their 60s, that's my core demographic. They're the people that will. And the mad thing is,
she thinks you're some bigamist with a kind of a family.
Well, this
square,
is, yeah, yeah, there's all of these other women.
Like you're Larkin.
But what is mad is when they approach, I'm nearly 18 years gone out of the show. But still, people, when they will approach you, there's no kind of, are you, is it questionable? They're just straight in. Ah, how are you, Larkin? Still. And like, my wife is just like, she can't see it.
Yeah.
You know?
Funny, isn't it?
Mad, yeah.
Was it the breast cancer storyline? Is that the kind of the one that stands out?
That was my storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a real standout storyline.
Yeah.
But having said that, there were millions of storylines along the way that all stood out in their own way. But as I say, a day to day domestic stuff, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you go back to it?
Me
now, for people who are not fans, we should have gone.
Oh yeah, I was killed in a shootout.
Yeah. But
well, there was a storyline proposed at one point that, because my character was involved in some shady gangland stuff, and it was actually my confession that put somebody really bad away in prison. And
my deathbed
confession. Yeah. So there was a storyline pitched after I left the show that my character would return by some sort of a witness protection. But no, it's not to be. It's not for me. And, you know, there's a song that I sang in a school play when I was a kid, and the opening line is, "Hi diddly dee, an actor's life for me." And I thought that would be the case, but I have since grown to learn an actor's life is not for me.
Okay, that's great. We have that. We have that on tape, so we can play that back when Larkin is brought back in witness protection. I love that. Claudia?
Would I go back? Well, I have been back.
Yes.
I've been back over the years. During COVID was the last time I was in. So, you know, never say never. That's
never
what I'll say.
Never say never. Well, listen, thank you both very much for coming in and having the chat.
You're very welcome.
Because it is, you know, a fixture there in so many people's lives. So many evenings over the last 35 years.
God, I know, it's crazy, right?
Up ages us all.
And going nowhere. And going nowhere. We'll be back again in 35 years to talk about the 70 years.
We will, absolutely. Yeah. Gillian O'Sullivan, Claudia Carr, thank you both very, very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.